He was a young man with everything going for him. He had the potential to achieve a law degree. He had the potential to have a family. It seemed like everything about his story was perfect. He had a grandparent who supported him. He had friends who encouraged him. He had the opportunity of a lifetime. And yet the reality is that he made a choice when he was a young man. And his choice was that he would just share one lie in order to make his life better, and began to recognize that if he lied a certain way, things were easier. And so it became a pattern for him. His story unfolded by finding himself in supposedly in love with a young lady. He was even a babysitter of our little children. He had the story. It was perfect. He was a picture of a fine young man, except he deceived everyone. The tragedy of his lies, stacked up over and over again, led him to a tragic choice. He determined that the only way the lies could ever end was to hang himself, which he did. And when I think back about that story, I think about how what he left behind was people who had to persevere through pain. People who had to ask questions like, what was real, what wasn't? Oftentimes he would say, I'm barely getting by. And yet he left behind $400,000 in a bank account. Oftentimes he would identify with compassion and kindness. And yet, the truth of the matter is that he made a choice to allow deception to become a part of his story. And during these weeks that we've been talking about broken hearts, this week I began to reflect on all the hearts that were broken. Our little son was a little boy then, and I can remember trying to explain to him what choices were made and the consequence of those choices. And today, as we think about that, oftentimes we believe that in our culture, a little deception here, a little deception there won't cause anyone any harm. And yet, the truth of the matter is, it pushed everyone towards having to persevere through the difficulty of what someone else has chosen to do or to share. It's not any different than someone who can sit behind a computer screen and look at the wrong thing and then deceive others into believing they're living a certain way. And you see, the reality is today, as we think about how important it is that we persevere through pain the right way, we bring together our thoughts that we have looked at over these last 3 weeks. And today I want us to zero in on where we are in our own journey, because here's what I want you to see. And there are several key principles that I want you to glean out of this message today, because today we look at what happens when David opens his heart up to deal with the issues of how he lives his life, being around all the people who are deceptive, all the people who have confused him and confounded him and challenged him. So today we find ourselves in Psalm 26. And if you're turning there, you probably recognize that as they were singing Psalm 24, when you get to Psalm 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, and right in that spot, you begin to realize that it's here that David begins to reflect with transparency on what it is he's encountered. And this transparency allows us to understand how he thinks and how God speaks to him. And in this 26th Psalm, we find ourselves in a place where David recognizes that in order to be who we're supposed to be, we have to be willing to deal with the things that we encounter in life. And today I want to ask you just a couple questions to think about as we look inside of God's Word. Have you ever been deceived? Has anyone ever babysat your children that you found out later they were not who you thought they were? Has anyone ever told you something that you knew was not true after a long time or a period of time? You realize, wow, they're representing something that's really not valid. You see, here's what we discover, that deception is a part of life, because anyone outside of Jesus is going to use whatever tool available to them in order to get what they want. And what you discover today is that David brings together some very distinct thoughts. He brings together what happens when deception occurs, what happens when accusation is brought to you, and what happens when you experience the affirmation that God is with you no matter what. And today you may be here, and here's what may have been happening. You may have found yourself at a place you never dreamed you'd be. Maybe you were deceived by someone who said, I'll love you forever, but they walked away. And all of the pain from that still has the lingering effect that if you don't persevere through it the right way, the lingering effect of it has devastating consequences on who you are, how you live, and what it is he wants to do in your life. And so today, as you think about it, not just have you ever been deceived, but think through in your own mind. Have you ever been overwhelmed in life where something just came at you in such a fashion that you said, I'm not sure I can endure this. I'm not sure I can get where I'm supposed to go. And what I want you to see today, there's a principle that will come out of Psalm 26. And I want you to see it so that you'll understand how it is God works. He equips us in order to empower us so that we can endure, ultimately bringing glory to God. Now think about that again. He equips us. In other words, he brings to us everything we need to make it through life. He equips us so he can empower us, so we can live through difficult time, so that we, as we endure, that endurance opens up the door to God, for God to be glorified. And what's interesting is I think about that young lady who was deceived by that young man. From a shattered heart, God brought someone into her life who was true and right. Every once in a while, I look on Facebook and I see the postings of her beautiful children she has now. And I realize something. She persevered through that pain the right way because she recognized that God was with her. And what I want you to see today is David is encountering people, which, by the way, he's encountering them inside church and outside church. And you'll discover that as he speaks to those who come around him. Because the interesting thing is, there are wolves who show up looking like sheep. There are people who come around who do not have an intent to bless. They only intend to burden. And as a result, they are wolves, not sheep. And what I want you to see today is that no matter whether we're encountering wolves or whether we're encountering heartaches or difficulty, that what you can see on this particular weekend as we head towards Thanksgiving, as we head towards an opportunity to celebrate what it is God has done, is that in the midst of our difficulty and heartache and pain, God is with us. Look at it with me, if you would, Psalm 26. Notice how David speaks to what it is he wants to live out in life. Verse 1, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations, I shall bless the Lord. Look at verse 12 there again and notice what he says. My foot stands on a level place. And what I want you to see today is this, that no matter what it is that we encounter in life, no matter what challenges come at us, no matter what pain we endure, no matter what stories we live through, he can put our feet on a level place where we can stand strong and true and realize that God is with us. And so today, as you think about that, you begin to realize that the way to really discover how to make it through our pain is to learn how to persevere. And perseverance has a very powerful quality. In fact, it's spoke about in the Bible all through. But I want to take a few moments, and I want to do a little Bible look and see inside what it is that God says to us. So I want to ask, if you would, that to turn to your right all the way to the book of Romans. And we're going to look at 4 or 5 verses, and I want to kind of show you something. Because today, as you think about it, I want to give you a definition of perseverance that I believe will help you. And I hope that you won't forget, as you're turning to Romans chapter 2, that as you go through certain things, God will equip you so that he can empower you, so that you can endure in order to bring glory to Him. Look at it with me, if you would. Romans chapter 2. And I want you to look just at several verses, because I want you to see a common theme built throughout the New Testament. And if we had time, we'd also go through the Old Testament. But today, we're just looking at a glance of what happened in the New Testament. Romans chapter 2, and if you would, begin, if you would, at verse 5, because I want you to kind of see something. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. But notice what he says here in verse 7. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteous wrath and indignation. Verse 10, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good. And when you read this, you realize something. What he's referencing here is the fact that there are those who will choose to only live a deceptive life, that will only live to experience wrath and indignation. But what he says is, but those who persevere doing good. And don't you love the idea that what Paul says here is so succinct to our life? Do good. Do good. Be the best you can be. To quote Carolyn Tate, be the best you can be. Look on over Romans chapter 5. Just turn just a couple pages. Romans chapter 5. Look, if you would, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. 2 Thessalonians, hang a right a little further. Turn back there to all the T's. Timothy and Thessalonians, Titus, all those folks. Look, if you would, at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, I'm taking you places you might not always go, so just keep hiking, and when you get to the T's, you're close, all right? Are you awake? Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, look, if you would, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. In fact, start at verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. For your perseverance and your faith. Now, turn right to Revelation. That's pretty easy to find. If you get to the beyond Revelation, you are not going to find me. Revelation chapter 14. I want you to see this common thread that carries forward. Beginning in and just looking at verse 12 of Revelation chapter 14. If you're in Revelation, say amen.
Amen.
All right, doing good. Verse 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints, who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. When you read this, you realize that all through the Bible, over and over again, is this common theme of perseverance. Perseverance. Now today I want you to think about, in light of what you and I think about that goes on in our lives, someone deceiving us, someone misleading us. I'll never forget the one fatal mistake I made one time years ago of being willing to co-sign a note with somebody. Maybe you've never done that, but I did once. And I was a young pastor thinking, you know what, this guy's good for his word. Only problem was he wasn't. And so I signed that note, and it's real interesting what God did. He allowed me to pay the note off myself because that guy didn't. And you know what the Lord did after that, though? The Lord brought that guy back into my life, and he told me to give him some money. I want you to think about that for a second. You sign my note, then the Lord tells you to give me money. Now, does that math work for you? Hello? It doesn't work, does it? Except the Lord was trying to teach me a lesson. The first lesson was not my responsibility to take care of somebody else's obligation. I shouldn't have signed that in the first place, but I did, and there was a consequence to it. And one of the things we fail to recognize in the day in which we live, there's a consequence to every choice. You know what we think? We think we can say what we want to say, do what we want to do, live like we want to live, and as a result, no consequence. The truth is, there's always consequence. But what I want you to do is I want you to walk through this passage with me and discover some things. First of all, let's think about this whole idea of vengeance. Because the interesting thing about vengeance is vengeance never brings victory. It only devalues the person who tries to take it out on someone. You ever tried to get vengeance on someone? You realize how limited you are, how impossible it is for you to create an arena to cause someone else the kind of pain they caused you. And I love what Archibald Hart wrote about forgiveness, because he said it this way: forgiveness is your surrendering the right to hurt someone who hurts you. Your willingness to surrender that right and say, you know what, I don't want to take vengeance. I don't want to take vengeance on anybody. I want to instead let the Lord be in charge. And I'm going to tell you what you discover about Psalm 26. David lays everything on the altar and says, you know what, I'm not doing it my way. I'm doing it God's way. I'm not going to let this be something that defines me. I'm going to instead allow this experience to say, you know what, these people, I'm not going to hang out with them. And I'm going to tell you what you discover too. And I hope you don't miss this, because this is biblical, but it's in my words. Who you hang with is who you are. And if you hang with somebody who is wicked, you will become wicked like them. You can't even fathom how many people I've heard say to me, well, I've decided to leave him because all my coworkers tell me how good life is without having to deal with him. And I'm sitting there with my eyes like silver dollars going, who are you listening to? And I'm going to tell you what you discover. David makes it clear. You hang out with the wrong people, you'll think the wrong thoughts, you'll take the wrong actions, and you'll discover the destiny of unwise choices. So vengeance, what does it do to you? It makes you feel less valuable. It's like what happens when someone speeds by you and cuts in front of you. Now what happens to you? You accelerate up there with them, thinking you have the opportunity to say something to them that would inspire them not to cut in front of you next time. But they don't do that, do they? What do? They give you sign language that communicates that they're not receiving what it is you're trying to say. Wouldn't it be better to let their tire be blown out on the side of the road of their own doing than you thinking you got to take it out on them? You see what happens? Oftentimes we think, man, if I can just get back at him. And let me tell you what you discover, what I hope you'll discover today. If there's any aspect of deception in you, you need to surrender it today. Because if you are living a lie, you will experience a heartache. And how easy it is for someone to believe something that is painful. I'll never forget, it was years ago, that someone made this statement to me. And I want to share it because I've never shared it before publicly. But in reading one of my journals, it reminded me of how easy it is for someone to skew their perspective. And the person made this statement to me: our deepest hurts open the door to our deepest healing. And when they made that statement, to our greatest healing, when they made that statement, it was interesting, because do you realize your deepest hurts always come from people you love the most? Listen, if you just have an acquaintance at work and they don't like the fact your Bible's on your desk, that doesn't get to you much, because that just happens to be where they are. But if somebody you love has issue with it, it's much more challenging. And what you discover here as you look at the passage and this principle, the person who shared these words, as I etched them down in a journal years ago, they really did make a true statement. And that is, oftentimes when we hurt, God's greatest healing comes our way. And I can tell you, over time, I've watched how God works in that. But here's what you discover. You come back to the same principle over and over again. You got to persevere. Now, what is perseverance? And this is really the overarching concept of what I want you to see today as we're in the Lord's house. Perseverance is our willingness to willfully endure. Willfully endure. In other words, go through something knowing that God has a greater purpose for our lives than whatever it is we're encountering then. In other words, we persevere through something knowing that God has something for us. And we go through it willfully. We say, Lord, you know what? I'm willing to go through this. I'm willing to endure what it is you're bringing my way. So I want to ask you a question. Last time you went through a very difficult time, a very challenging time, did you willfully endure it or did you gripe your way all the way through it? It's easier to gripe, isn't it? I mean, isn't complaining a right that we have in our day? Complain about this, complain about that. And the truth of the matter is that what the Lord shows us in His Word is we have to willfully endure knowing God has a greater purpose in mind. And here's what I want you to recognize. You may encounter something in the day in which you live, during this week, during next week, during Christmas, that you have to endure. Maybe it's someone's perspective. Maybe it's someone you don't even like being around, but you have to be around them for 3 days. Don't you hate those moments? When you realize that Uncle John's coming, and nobody likes Uncle John. By the way, if you are Uncle John, I'm not referring to you, okay? I'm just referring to someone theoretically. Now, the truth is, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Because we like to be around people who don't make us persevere. But what I want you to see today is as David unfolds in this psalm, he begins to share some concepts that are absolutely critical. Look at it with me if you would. And let's just see these as they speak to our hearts. Verses 1 and 2. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I've walked in my integrity. And I've trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. If we are to persevere through pain, the very first thing we have to be willing to do is let God examine our hearts and our minds. Have you ever had a thought that when you had it, you said, Lord, I hope nobody else ever knows I thought it? Because it was off center. It was away from what God intended. And here's what David says. Look inside my heart and my mind and help me see what it is you want to say to me. Examine me. You ever been to the doctor and you were really hurting and he never examined you? He just asked questions? Anyone ever had that experience? I've had that experience. I walked in one time and said, told the doctor, man, I'm really feeling bad. I feel bad. He said, where do you hurt at? Well, you know, I started describing it. Never touched me. And he got done. Okay, well, take this medicine, check out at front. I'm going to tell you, when they were swiping my Visa card, I was thinking, he never examined me. Now, he probably didn't need to. Maybe he thought I was afflicted, didn't want to get what I had. I don't know what it was that inspired him to do it that way. But I would much rather him said, well, let me check and see here. You got any swollen gland? Let me see if I can see anything between your ears. You know, I always feel like when they put that thing in your ear, they're looking to see if there's anything on the other side. You know, if there's any light there that they say, okay, nothing there. The truth is, that's supposed to be funny, folks, all right? I'm trying to inspire you. It looks like you've already started eating Thanksgiving meals before Thanksgiving. The truth is that we go to the doctor because we want to be examined. Here's what David says. He wanted to be examined by God. I want to ask you a question. If God looked inside of you, would he find anything that was deceptive, anything that was scheming, anything that was painful, anything that was challenging? Because what you discover very quickly is you don't want that in your life. So what does he do here? Well, notice how he approaches it. Notice what he says in verse 1. And I trust in the Lord without wavering. And I want you to learn this concept. Never waver so you won't wander. In other words, if you stay true to what it is that's made you who you are, you won't wander off. Through the years of pastor, oftentimes I'll encounter people who get on some wavelength or tangent that's outside of the realm of wisdom. In other words, they get fixated on a particular aspect. For example, they may come to a place where the only thing they want to read is Revelation. Man, they just want to know the end times. And they'll come to a particular passage and say, what do you think? And I'll look at them and say, well, why don't you ask the same 40 biblical scholars who all disagree on that verse? And maybe you'll figure it out better. And what happens is somebody gets fixated, don't they? And what do? They wander. They wander, and as a result, they miss. But watch this carefully. Don't waver on what counts in life. And you're going to see what mattered to David. What mattered to David was he had an altar to go to, he had a church to attend, he had a faith to live, and he had a heart to watch God work. And so I want you to think about today as you think about your own journey, how important it is that you have the same thing, that you have an altar to turn your life down to God. You have a church to walk into. You have a faith to endure no matter what it is that's coming at you. And you have a God who meets you at the point of your need. But not only say, do not wander, but you'll notice what he says here. Verse 3, for your loving kindness is before my eyes. When you're going through a problem, here's what David says. You focus in on his love because God loves you. And what happens is that focus takes all the other things and sets it aside. This week, Cindy and Nora and Ashley and myself, we got to go spend some time with my mom. We were there to celebrate. We're there to celebrate Cindy's dad's 80th birthday. And we went to surprise him. And so we were in the middle of all that surprise. And one day, my sweet little mom, latter part of the week, came in and she sat down beside me. She said, I just want to sit beside you. And I just want to hold your hand for a moment. And you know, when she was doing it, I got to thinking about how many different ways she had loved me through the years. Loved me in the midst of heartache. Loved me in the midst of difficulty. Loved me in the midst of pain. And what you discover is something. When someone focuses on love, lots of other things disappear, don't they? Lots of other issues all go away. And what I want you to see today is, when you think about examining your heart, don't wander. Don't waver so you won't wander, but also be sure to focus in on his love. But he also says one other thing here I don't want you to miss, because notice what he says, latter part of verse 3, I have walked in your truth. You want to persevere through difficulty? Stay inside of God's word. Let God's word speak to your heartaches. Let God's word speak to your pain. Let God's word speak to where you're at in life. You see, because the truth of the matter is, as you allow God's word to speak, something begins to happen inside of you. So today, as you think about your own journey of faith, if you were called into the great physician's office, that being Jesus, then he called you in, he said, I want to examine your heart. I want to examine your mind. I want to see if you're thinking any thoughts you shouldn't be thinking. And watch this carefully. If you allow your anxious thoughts to multiply within you, you will end up being deceived into thinking the wrong way. And what you discover is God's love is simple and pure. It's powerful. Knowing that he loves you does something amazing inside of you. But being wise enough to stay inside of truth validates who you are, validates how you live, validates where he wants you to go. And let me just say this to you so you'll know. You want to encounter difficulty in the midst of pain and not have an access point to get beyond that pain, set the Bible down and watch what happens. Because what happens is we'll begin to process our problems based on our own abilities. We'll start working through them. We'll start thinking, you know what, if I can just take care of this. It's interesting, even this week, talking to some folks who they made a choice to be angry. And that anger has cost them so much. And what I want to encourage you to do is realize something. Don't allow anger to steal the love that God's put inside of your heart. Let him examine your heart. Let him see what it is you're up to. Because what you'll discover is you can persevere through this. Remember, that's that willful enduring, knowing that God has a greater purpose in mind. But not just examining your heart. Look on to what David says beyond that. Look, if you would, in verse 4. And notice what he says. I do not sit with deceitful men. Psalm 26, verse 4. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. Now, when you read this, you realize something. That David makes a distinction that is absolutely pivotal for us when we're going through hard times and challenges. Because here's what he does. He distinguishes between what is valuable and what is not. Who he hangs with and who he doesn't. And here's what I want you to see. You want to go through painful experiences the right way and persevere to honor God? What do? You decide who is valuable. You decide. And what he says here, I'm not hanging out with pretenders. You ever known anybody that was a fake? Probably so, haven't you? If you live more than 3 days, they're everywhere. Someone will give you, they'll fake you out in so many different ways. And what you discover is that David says something, I'm not hanging around with those who have wicked schemes. I'm not hanging around those who are pretenders or fakes. They fraudulently live out their life. I'm not hanging out with evil people. And what I want you to see today is this. And when you look at this passage, here is David making sure that we recognize that when you decide who is valuable, you'll learn a couple really critical lessons. And that is, relationships that bring glory to God are relationships that are honorable. In other words, when somebody comes into your life that brings honor, and what you'll discover, by the way, you want to persevere through things the right way, you learn who you can trust, who you can honor, who loves you, and how God will be glorified in the midst of what you're going through. And what you discover is, David makes it clear, I'm not about to honor anybody who all they're going to do is create more heartache for me. I'm not going to honor anyone who chooses to live outside of God's best for their life. And what I want you to see today is we all have these choices we make. And you have to be very careful. Listen carefully. Just because you've had a friend for a long time does not mean they're an honorable relationship. Sometimes we think, I have to hang with this person because they've been with me all this time. If I had done that, I'd be dead today. All my friends growing up, they're all dead today. They all made dishonorable choices. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. We sometimes think, well, you know, I just need to hang with them because of loyalty. Listen carefully. Honor is greater than loyalty. Because what honor says is, I need to recognize who God is first. Then I reckon with those who God's put in my life. Now, do we all have people in our lives that are challenging to us? Yes. And I'm not saying you walk away from relationships. What I'm saying is this. Decide who is honorable, who is valuable, and invest in those relationships first and foremost. Now, not only does he say that, though, but you'll notice that he makes a reference in verse 6. I'll wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. Here's what I want you to see. Because when you look at this, here's what he said. Have you ever shook somebody's hand, and after you shook it, they said to you, maybe you're just like me, they said, I'm just getting over the flu. You ever had that? Well, flying home on Friday, I don't know why this happens to me, but I'm always positioned by someone who's either big or sick or both. And so I'm sitting next to this guy, and I don't know if you had this, but I don't like people touching me that I don't know. And he sits down in his chair, and he does this, like that. And so his elbow was in my ribs most of the flight, and I kept getting over. Well, then he sneezes 4 times. You know how many germs come from every sneeze, right? 2 million. And so, all right, I'm counting. 2 million, 4 million, 6 million, 8 million. And I'm going, oh, Lord, help me. Then I realized something. Here's a guy. The plane is burning up. It's one of those little commuter jets. It's not even cool in there. It's a Travis kind of plane that just, Travis Martin, one of our pilots, it's a smaller plane. It's not a big plane. They didn't turn the air on. They're saving fuel. Lord, help them for that. But the truth is, I look at this guy, and he's got on 4 layers. Got a big old coat on. You can tell he's freezing to death. I'm thinking, he's got the flu. He just infected all of us. And the whole plane flight, he keeps trying to talk to me. You know what I'm doing? Dishonorable. Dishonorable. Gonna make me sick. And I kept thinking, well, if he introduces himself, he won't shake my hand, it's over. I'm not doing it. But the truth is that as soon as I got off that plane, you know what I want to do first thing? I want to wash my hands. I want to make sure all the clothes I had on got off. Change clothes because I wanted to be around something that was clean. Here's what David says, which, by the way, quite interesting. While I'm trying to avoid him, he gets cranberry juice with ice, and the first moment he spills it all over him. And I felt sorry for him, but I wasn't going to help him because I thought if I touch him, I'll get infected. So I just said, let me get you a napkin. And I ran out of my seat to make sure there are plenty of napkins there. You're thinking, your pastor doesn't have much mercy, does he? Very little mercy, just a little bit of grace, but a lot of love. So the truth is, I love him enough not to let him infect me. So what happened is I went and washed my hands as soon as I was done. And here's what I want you to see. Here's what David said. I hang around all these people. They're wicked. They have evil intent. They're trying to create heartache for me. What does he say? He said, I wash my hands. Notice how he says here. I wash my hands in innocence, and I go about your altar. And what I want you to see here, as you look at this, is what takes you to the altar is purity. So if you're trying to persevere through something that's difficult, keep your heart pure. Keep your heart right. Be wise enough to let your hands be washed by God and live out a pure life. And purity has purpose because purity allows you to experience the power of God at work in your life. Why do you think the Bible says you come with the faith of a child? Because the purity of a little child saying yes to Jesus is the most amazing thing that can happen. Because what do? You see the power of God comes into that child's life and something amazing begins to happen. And so what I want you to see today, this purity took him to the altar. And I want you to miss this because we are at Thanksgiving. Look at what does he say here? He makes it clear, verse 7, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. You see what he really says here? When you get thankful and grateful, you quit grumbling and you quit complaining. And as a result, you persevere through something the right way because your hands are washed, you're innocent. You can't be responsible for everyone. You're responsible for yourself. And you take action yourself. And what he tries to say here is examine who you are. Decide who is valuable in life. But then he goes on to say another thing that's very important as we wrap this together. Look at verse 8. He said, "O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." What he says here is so important is that we stay committed to his honor. And here's what he says. He says, "How do I make it through my most difficult times in life? I run to the church." He says, "I run to the habitation where God is, where his glory is." Listen carefully. If you're going through heartache, run to the church, not away from it. If you're going through difficulty, don't run away from where it is that God can meet you and show you his glory. Don't make a determination. You know what? They just don't understand who I am. It does not matter whether we understand who you are. It does matter that he understands who you are. And so if you're going through a difficulty, let his glory rest on you while you're in his house. That's why at Christmas time we have multiple opportunities to come into his house and experience his glory. And it's interesting because here he makes it very clear that the place where your glory dwells. You know what I've experienced in the last number of months? I've experienced the glory of God in an amazing way. I've watched people who didn't even know each other become friends. I've watched Sunday school classes double. I've watched lives be transformed. I've watched people join our fellowship, like Steve and his wife, who you heard pray a moment ago, like others who are here. I'm watching the glory of God at work. And what you discover here is you and I need to make sure that we look at our own lives and stay committed to honoring him with our life. How do you do that? How do you stay committed? What he says here is, in the midst of everything I'm going through, I'm going to worship in everything I encounter. I'm going to worship God. Driving down the road the other day, I was watching this guy who was driving beside me in Peachtree Industrial, and he was singing like nobody's business. And it looked like he was singing a good song. I couldn't read his lips completely, but I was probably driving too fast. But the truth is that I was watching him. You know, and he was having a celebration moment. And maybe you're like that. My wife, she doesn't like the fact that I play the music real loud in our home. So she has now relegated me to headphones. And so while I was gone with my family, with Ashley, I was singing a song, and Stephen Curtis Chapman has a new song out that one of the verses has something to do with Beethoven. Now, if you know me very well, you realize I'm not a classical music fan, so it couldn't be I'm listening to Beethoven. But a day later, my daughter asked me, "What was that line about Beethoven?" And I said to her, "I can't give you all the story because your mom won't let me sing it out loud. She makes me wear headphones. She wants it quiet in our house." It's so funny. Sometimes she'll say, "You know, I can hear it all the way downstairs." Well, that's why I'm playing it that loud. I want the whole house to be full, that we worship in everything. And let me tell you what David did. When his heart was overwhelmed, he worshiped. And here's what I want you to see. You're going through difficult times. You're going through heartache. Worship God. Worship him. Don't let anything get in your way. But he doesn't just say he's going to worship and everything, but he also says that he was going to his house because he was looking for something. He was looking for God's glory. And what I want you to see today is you need to look for the right thing. Do not look for an answer to an issue. Look for His glory. Because in His glory, you will find your answer. Sometimes we get in our mind, well, if I could just fix him or fix her. Listen carefully. You may very well have a kid who's not where they need to be. Do not figure out how to fix them. Look for the glory of God to rest on them. Look for God to come and speak to them. My wife was sharing about visiting with someone last night who goes back all the way to her childhood, because yesterday she wrote a wonderful post on Facebook about her mom who had been gone 20 years ago. 20 years ago, she walked into eternity. And this friend connected and started talking. And it's interesting, by the time Cindy finished telling me the story, she was telling about how one of their children had been a great hearty, but was back with the Lord. And here's what I want you to see. You may have a kid who's not where they need to be. Let them rest in the hands of God and watch what He does. Because what happens sometimes, we think, if I can just tell him one more thing or her one more thing, I can testify to you, I've tried it, it does not work. Better to leave them in the hands of God and say, Lord, bring glory to yourself. And David ends, he ends his story by bringing up very clearly in verses 9 and 10, do not take my soul away from, along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, and whose hands wicked schemes, and whose right hand is full of bribe. But as for me, and he comes back to the same statement, as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. What does he say here? Balance your heart with integrity. Balance your heart with integrity. And realize that as you endure, God has something for you. It's interesting how Rick Warren says it. He said it this way. The secret of endurance is to remember that your pain is temporary, but your reward is eternal. And when I think about that, sometimes we do go through difficult times. And what David said here is, I'm going to walk in my integrity. And what is integrity? It's character. What is character? It's substance, because it gets you somewhere. And today I want to ask you, when you think about your own life, are you walking with integrity? How do you do that? You choose to walk wisely. And as you choose to walk wisely, God begins to work inside of you. And what he says here at the very end, he says, redeem me, in verse, latter part of verse 11, redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. What does he say here? Anticipate redemption and grace. Anticipate what God has for you. And so today, as you think about your own journey, you think about where you are, I want you to imagine for a moment that all of a sudden, you get a chance to redo something. You get to rework it. You get to walk through it. And you get to walk through it a different way. You begin to wonder, can I level out what it is that's been so bumpy? Isn't it interesting that oftentimes the bumpy parts of our lives are even the product of our own doing? Sometimes unwise choices, unwise relationships, people that we thought we could trust that we couldn't. And what I want you to think about today as we think about this message, for some of you, this is a season of perseverance. You are willfully enduring in order to experience what God intends. My encouragement to you is this. Do not miss your moment. Let it be that you find yourself on a level place. And it may be you're here today and you realize you need a level place. A place where you can stand up and not fall over. My question to you is simply this. Are you at a level place in your life? Are you at a place where God could work? If you are, then you are moving in the right direction. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. Speaks to who we are. Moves our hearts in amazing ways. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace that rests on our life. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us in ways we never dreamed possible, to give us hope beyond any of our heartache. You're there to help us with a grace that gets us beyond anything we grumble about. You're there to give us peace and purpose in the midst of our peculiarities and heartaches. And Lord, today I just ask you to speak to the hearts of people. It may very well be there's a man or woman in this room who realizes this is the place to call home. This is a place to surrender what it is that they're facing. Lord, whatever it is you're saying to anyone's heart, I pray they would take action and they would follow you in an amazing way. And so, Lord, we give to you this time in which we respond to you. In Christ's name, amen.